Thank you, worship team, so much. You know, if the sun has set you free, you are free indeed. How many of you really believe that? It's hard to clap. It's hard to raise your hand. And you know why? Because I don't think we really truly understand freedom and what it really, really means to be free. We spent Saturday and Sunday at the Turney Center in Dixon, Tennessee. It's a correctional facility, and so 14 of us from Hillview went there to minister to the inmates by way of playing softball. And so we played softball. We played 8 games of softball in about a day and a half, and the guys were so desperate and tired, I got to play. And so... But one of the things we talked about is, you know, an incredible story in the Bible is the story of Daniel, who experienced more freedom in captivity than most of us experience in what we might call freedom. And I don't know that I call it freedom. Maybe we should just call it non-captivity. You know, that we're not bound so much by physical things, but we're bound so much by spiritual things. And so we're kind of continuing this sermon series on the Big Five, and tonight, like the deal we're going to talk about tonight is we're going to call it fellowship. And that's a real confusing thing in church life, because most people think it's not fellowship unless there's food, right? And there's a table, and because they talk about how intimate it is to share food, but you know, I think it's just a way to hide. You know, I'll just stuff my mouth and then I can just smile and wave, you know, and I don't have to talk. And but that's not what community really is. And so I really, really want to challenge us here tonight. And I really want to challenge us in what it means to really be in community, to be in fellowship. And you're going to take some issues with some of the things I'm going to have to say, because there's always these people who feel like that, you know, they can just go to 10 different churches whenever they feel like going to this one or that one, and there's very little commitment. And people tell me all the time, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I always say, well, you're going to have to go to church to be a good one. So a lot of you here tonight, and it's the Hillview night, and we're glad you're here. And if you come back, we'll be glad that you come back. But in Acts chapter 2, I want you to hear this. You've heard this 1,000 times, but I think we totally miss a key ingredient in the infancy. This church has just been birthed, and so here we are. It's like right after Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's a good thing, and we're going to talk about teaching. One of the Big Five is what? Bible study. So I'm like, what's the Big Five? Okay, yeah, all right. So anyway, we're going to talk about Bible study another night. I think we're doing it the last Wednesday night of the month, or I don't know. We'll talk about it sometime, though. How's that? But tonight, we're going to talk about this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to... Now here's what people miss. It doesn't say they devoted themselves to fellowship. It doesn't say that. They did not devote themselves to a verb. Does everybody hear that? So they weren't devoting themselves to doing something. Like fellowship in this context is not a verb, because there's an article in front of it, and that means that it is a... Does it? I didn't know, but I was hoping. And so that means it's a noun. And so they devoted themselves to the fellowship. And so that implies something other than a meal. That implies something other than like, hey, we're going to get together and shake hands. But it's like to a group. And so to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, was a good thing, to the fellowship. And so the understanding is the context, what happened, the way they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They did this in kind of a group, and it was called the... I love it. Like from row 3 on, you're with me. So good.
They devoted themselves to the fellowship. And so like church is a touchy topic. And so you got to be careful. You can't always talk about church. Like most of the people in my family hate church and they hate pastors. Isn't that odd? It's called irony. And so maybe it's not. So anyway, my family, you talk about church, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about religion and all that. And really, most people don't talk about religion because churches are just filled with people who either worship church or worship themselves. And some may argue that it's one and the same. But, you know, let me tell you what the real deal is. The real deal is that when the world is hurting, almost always, everybody listen to this, almost always, they turn to the church when they're hurting. And almost always, the church lets them down. You know why? Because when we in the church are hurting, we turn to the church and the church lets us down. Now, somebody may want to be real spiritual and say, well, we ought not turn to the church. We ought to turn to Jesus. True or false? You ought to turn to Jesus. But guess what he established? The church. So we are to be the Vox Christos. Anybody know what that means? Sydney, you know what it means. The voice of Christ to the world and the voice of Christ to each other. So Jesus has established that we're going to be his voice, his arms, his hands, his feet, his ears. That's what we're supposed to be. And so you can turn to the church. It's okay. Jesus left it so that people could turn to it. And so that we would have this powerful thing called koinonia, fellowship, that we would have one another. And most people that have a church don't have much. And so we've got to be ready. So this sermon, listen, John F. Kennedy had this great quote, and it came about in a time of real cynicism when people were all down and people were like, you know, my life's not great. And John F. Kennedy had this great quote. He said, "Don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask." I love it. And some people were like, John who? And so you know what? It's a day of cynicism in the church. And people are down on the church and people say, man, life's tough and all this. This sermon tonight is not to gear you up about here's what the church wants to do for you. A few eyes perked up. Because I don't want you to ask, what can your church do for you? Because in community, what we're asking is what can I do for the fellowship? What can I do to be the voice and the eyes and the ears and the arms and the feet of Jesus? What can I do? And I just want to tell you, gigantic misconception at Hillview Heights Church. Y'all remember Yogi Berra had a great quote too. Anybody know who Yogi Berra was? He had a great quote. They were talking about this popular restaurant. And Yogi Berra said, it's so crowded, people don't even go there anymore. Do you get it? Because I rolled when I heard it. I thought it was great. Okay. All right. Forget Yogi. But you know what I hear all the time about Hillview? Man, that church is so big, they got plenty of people to serve. All right. I'm going to give you a little quiz. How many people do you think are actively involved in ministry at Hillview Heights Church? Now let me tell you this. In a month, we'll have 6,000 people attend worship at Hillview Heights Church in a month. We ask them not to all come at the same time because we don't have room for 6,000 people. And so it just so happened, turns out that we might run between 3,700 and 4,000 every Sunday morning. But in a month's time, there's 6,000 people in and out of this place. Got that? Here's the quiz. How many people do you think are actively involved in ministry on a regular basis? Do you think it's A, 4,000? Well, my, aren't we cynical tonight? Do you think it's B, 3,000? Do you think it's C, about 100? Go, come on! There's more than 100. Man, you are like, it's going to be the lowest one because that's how they do these things. So, all right, I threw that one in there. Or D, 973. Or E, all the above. I just have to throw that one out there. It's about, just guesstimate, it's probably between 800 and 1,000 people that are really, really, and you know what? With those 800 or 1,000 people, we're doing some awesome things. That's a great place for an applause. Because we'll edit that part out where I said that's a great place for an applause. So when you listen to it, it'll be just this rousing applause. But anyway, so you got that up in the booth. Thank you. But imagine what would happen if 3,000 to 4,000 people said, you know what? My serving should not be dependent upon what the needs are, but I should serve because I'm saved. And I should serve because it's not just, when you're a Christian, there's not just privileges to being a Christian, and there are a couple. Amen? Okay. And we are just like so many other people that are members of clubs and organizations, or, you know, if you even like some credit cards that say membership has its... Is that a credit card commercial? Thank you. Okay. I don't know. All right. So here we go. It's kind of weird tonight, isn't it? It's like you didn't get Yogi. That hurt. And so we get all wrapped up in the privileges of being a Christian, but we have forgotten that there's also an incredible responsibility that God has called us. And it's not a solo deal. It's not a Lone Ranger deal. God has called us to live together with each other. Do I need to clarify that? Some people are like, oh, see? It's not what I'm talking about. To do life together. And I don't know if you've noticed, but life is difficult. Life has some bumps in the road. Life offers up some things you will not get through on your own. And so they weren't just committed to the apostles' teaching. They were committed to the fellowship. And they did fellowship in such a way that they didn't want anybody among them to have a need. And so what they would do is they would give not just out of their abundance. How many of you have an abundance, you know? But they would give out of their need so that other needs would be met. Now, I remember one time I was telling a group of people, we're to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And I'm about to tell you a story, and I want you to know I've prayed hard about whether or not to tell it. Because some of you just are not going to like it. Okay, so don't email me. If you do, go ahead. It's scarborough@hillview.com. Sorry. I've emailed him a lot. So anyway, I'm telling a group of people, and we found out about a guy who was just having a really hard time. He was a single guy, and he needed some care. He needed some people to be there for about 2 days, kind of on a rotating basis. So, I mean, I get a group of people together. I said, hey, tell you what, we're going to rotate. We're going to help this guy. We're going to meet his needs. So about 6 guys came and met, and we're going to rotate and take care of this guy for 2 solid days. Well, only 6 guys came, and I needed 7. Because I had 7 slots, and only 6 guys came. And so I needed one more guy. I was trying to think, where would I find one more guy? And one of the guys said, actually, there's 7 of us here. I was like, no, there's 6 of you guys. Well, so I go. I sign up. And, of course, in my plan to find somebody else, they had already signed up. So, like, I had this wonderful slot from, like,
3 in the morning to, you know, like 7 or something like that. So, anyway, about 6:30, 6:45, the guy has to go to the bathroom because he's having all kinds of horrible bowel problems, vomiting. I mean, just, you know, I won't go into all the details. I guess that's probably all of them, isn't it, for the bathroom. But anyway, sorry. So this guy goes, you know, and he, you know, anyway, some time elapses, and he says, "Pastor Jamie, man, I go in, the toilet overflowed. Apparently before anything was able to make it down." You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? "And there's stuff all over the floor. And I'm not going to tell you what it was, but it wasn't vomit." And, man, the guy, you can tell on his, he is so embarrassed. He's like, I'm going to get out. It's like, "No, Nick," you know, and I help him get back to the bed. And I'm like, 6:55. So when my relief guy comes, he comes to the bathroom. And I'm in the bathroom, and I've got towels and all that stuff, and I'm cleaning up the bathroom floor. And the guy looks at me, and as soon as he sees me, he looks at his watch, you know, like, "Am I Merle, I'm going to go smoke while you're finishing up." And for a number of reasons, I've never forgotten the story, but maybe for the main reason, because nobody from his work would have come to do that. None of the people at the club would have come to do that. None of the people at the gym would have come to do that. I wouldn't have done it if a seventh guy had shown up. But in community, that's what we do. And so literally or figuratively, we help people with the stuff that's going on in their life. And we love on people. And we do things that nobody else in the world would think twice about even possibly doing. And that's what is so powerful about this organization that Jesus instituted and left here on the earth called the church. And that's what we're supposed to be for each other. And that's how we're supposed to meet each other's needs. And that's how we're supposed to love one another. Because here's what happens. So when all these people who aren't believers look, because you know one day, because that guy, man, God healed him, some great things happened in his life, and you know that somewhere he told that story. And these people at work said, "They did what? Man, the toilet overflowed everywhere." And they're saying, "They did what?" Because that is the church. And that's what it means to be community. And that's what it means to love each other. And that's what it means to be the voice and the ears and the eyes and the arms and the hands and the feet of Jesus. That's what it means. That we're going to love each other in a sacrificing way. That if I'm going to meet your need and it's going to cut me or it's going to cost me, I will do it anyway. And I'm going to tell you something. There are big pockets of that here at Hillview Heights Church, but there's not enough. There's not enough. And some of you may say, that's what I want. That's what I want to be a part of. Then do it. Because I guarantee you it's only one call to the office to say, "I want to serve and I want to meet a need. What can I do?" Let me tell you, you'll think twice about calling the next time. Because they are in abundance. They are in abundance.
But that is what it means to be the body of Christ. And that's what it means to meet each other's needs. I just want to read you what I think is one of the greatest pictures of community in the Bible. I'm saying one of them, and it's up for debate. You could disagree. It doesn't make you a heretic. Maybe wrong, but not a heretic. It says this in Mark chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. And so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. And some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Now, interesting here. The Bible says, and they brought a paralytic. I mean, there's some things you'd know about a paralytic. And it seems redundant to say, carried by four men. He's a paralytic. Hello? If he's going anywhere, he's being carried. But the Bible, I don't think this was like, you know, just a misshot here by Mark, or, you know, he just wasn't thinking straight. I think it's very intentional. Because I think sometimes when we see a paralytic, we forget that if they're going to get anywhere, they're going to have to be taken. And they're going to have to be carried. And are you willing to carry them? Am I willing to carry? Are you really willing to carry them? And it may not even be a physical paralysis. It may be a spiritual paralysis. Are you really willing to carry somebody? Interesting. Listen to what it says here. He's carried by four men. Now, the Bible doesn't go into the details of a relationship. We don't know if they're related. I don't get the picture that there's any blood relation there. But he's carried by four men. And these four guys are carrying this paralytic. And where are they headed? I don't know if everyone's listening. Where are they headed? They're headed to Jesus. And so it's a powerful picture here. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they dropped him and said, "We'll try again tomorrow." Some of you are like, "Whoa, hang on, Mark, what?" And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. Now community is just not four guys and a paralytic. Now it's a homeowner. Say, "Hey, whatever we need to do. I've got a back door." This is an incredible picture of community. "Hey, I've got a house. I'm going to host Jesus. There's a paralytic and he needs Jesus." And these four guys said, "We're going to take him to Jesus." It's an incredible picture of community. So I want to ask you, if you had to sum up your communal life right now, are you the homeowner? Has it been costly to follow Jesus? Because if it hasn't, then I dare say you're really following him. Because typically when Jesus gets me all involved in something, it costs me something, somehow, some way. And I'll be honest, I just assume give a whole lot more money than what it typically costs of me, which is what? Time. Time. To give time. So the homeowner, he gave some time. You know? It was monetarily costly, wasn't it? Because I don't read at the end of Mark 2 where, "And then they all fixed the roof and sang a hymn." And you know, the homeowner was probably saying, "That's great. Well, why don't we all go on the roof and talk there?" Doesn't say that. I don't know what happened. Maybe they did do that. The Bible doesn't say it though. You know why? Because that's not the issue. That's not the point. The point is, this guy had something that he was willing to give. And these four guys, they had something they were willing to give. And so four of them come together to take this guy to Jesus. I just want to encourage you. Because I have 1,000 thoughts that I want to share with you tonight. And 6 minutes to do so. But I want you to know, if you experienced, and I hate to even say church because there's so many negative connotations, and to say ecclesia just sounds like an ancient thing that they used to do a long time ago, even though that's what we are, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones that God has called out.
It's a powerful thing. If you could experience community on that kind of level, you would never want to be a level below that. But I'm afraid, probably. Remember I said there's some things I'll say you won't like. Here comes one. Probably most of you are not doing community on that level. And there's a plethora of reasons that we could give for why we're not doing that. Probably the biggest reason that most of us would give is, I just don't have the time. And why don't we have the time? Because we don't make it. You know why? Because it's not about time, it's about importance. Because all the things that are important, I have time for. Have you ever noticed that? All the things that are important, I have time for. I make the time for. And so somehow, while there are some incredible pockets like that here at this church, there's not enough. And there needs to be more. And you know what's awesome? Let me just tell you something that I'll do that's a little different. I'm not just asking, is there one person here who'll say, I'll give the time. The deal is, four of them did it. Four of them did it. We were in Romania doing some preaching at churches and some different ministries. And one of the things we do, because it's like, you know, I don't know if you noticed, people don't necessarily come out to hear about Jesus. So you always take something that they really want and then tell them about Jesus while they're getting that. So we take doctors and nurses to Romania. And people come from everywhere. And part of that was comical to me. It was humorous to me. And I don't know why. Probably some sick American way that, you know, because I've got 10 doctors that I get bills from, right? I'm like, well, who's that one? You know, that was when it looked in the door and charged you, you know, $37, right? Somebody said, $37? What doctor's that? But I will never forget, as long as I live, this lady who walked. She told us she walked about 4 miles to get to the medical clinic. And she was about 70, 75 years old, in that range. And she carried on her back for 4 miles her 40 or 50 year old daughter who couldn't walk. All that way to the clinic. And I thought about the paralytic. And I thought that maybe there was one of those four that knew the paralytic, who said, man, if I could get my friend to Jesus, he might be healed. He might get saved if I could just get him to Jesus. But I can't do it by myself. And so he had some friends who were part of the fellowship. And he goes and he says, hey, you know what? Here's what we're going to have to do. And I've got a friend, if we could get him to Jesus. And he gets a couple of friends, and four of them come and they carry that burden. And it took the same amount of time for all four of them. It cost the same amount for all four of them, but they came together and they did it because they know if anybody could change the life of the paralytic, it would be Jesus. And it was worth their time. And it was worth their effort. And it was worth whatever it cost to get this man to Jesus. And they were willing to carry him. And we have some pockets like that at Hillview, but we don't have enough. And we need people who stand up and say, hey, you know what? Not only will I give my time or my money or whatever it costs to meet these needs, to get people to Jesus, whatever it costs, you know what? Not only am I willing to do that, but I'm going to go find some people and we're going to do that together. I wonder how many of you would really be willing to do that. Because if you are not doing that, if you're not involved in that level of community, you are missing. You are missing what we are really called to be as the body of Christ. You're missing that. And so it's a powerful story. The homeowner, these four friends, this guy who desperately needed Jesus. And so the problem is, either you don't think people really need Jesus, or on your list of priorities, it's way down there. or whatever reason you may have, I want to tell you, I don't want to compel you tonight because the needs are so great. And I want to just say, though, the needs are so great. But I want you to be compelled because you were made in the image of God. And He created you. And if you're a believer, He has saved you. And He has a plan for your life and a desire to use you. And He hasn't called you to walk this journey alone. He's given us a community to do this life together. And so we're at the Turney Center and we're talking to guys. And one guy comes up and we talk to him. And a common question that I had asked in there that I don't know if I should have asked or not, but we'd ask a lot of these guys, say, hey man, so, you know, how long have you been here? And how, you know, when do you get to leave? And you know, and every once in a while a guy would come up to you and with tears in his eyes, he'd say, I'm not leaving. This is where I'll be. And so man, we just put our arms around the guy. We hug him, we love on him, we pray for him. And we try to be community. And to one another to be community. I want to tell you this, man. I hate this. I just want to tell you. God is calling us to that level of community. And I want you to know. Not just so that all these needs will be met, but the main thing is that people will come to Jesus. If you know you're not experiencing community on that level, do not. Now everybody hear this. It'll be the second thing you may not really like. If you're not experiencing community on that level, it is nobody else's fault but yours. So you can email Pastor Steve, you can email me and say, yeah, but this, and my life's tough. You know, everybody's life is tough. I don't know if you've noticed. And I don't know if you've noticed, nobody has time. And so the only people that are doing this are the people that are making time. And I want to say this with all the love in my heart, shame on you if you're not experiencing community on that level. Because you are the one that's missing out. So we're going to have a time of altar. And you know, I'm just going to ask during this time of altar, if you have been missing community that way, or you long for that kind of community, or maybe you've just withheld the things God has given you because somehow in your warped thinking you thought it was all yours, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar tonight. And I'm going to ask you just to come and say, you know what, Lord, forgive me, because it's nobody else's fault that I'm missing this except mine. And there'll be pastors down here, and you can just come down and say, I need you to pray with me, and we'd love to pray with you. So let's stand together. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for what you've given us so that we can know you, so that we can walk with you. Lord, raise us up so that the need you desire to meet will be met. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Everybody look up. Please don't wait to come. Just come to the altar now if you need to. Just come now.